Well, New Year's has come and gone. Kids are headed back to school this week. Most of us are back at work or headed there. Stores have already replaced the Christmas inventory, and they're already promoting Valentine's Day. Everyone is ready for a fresh start and ready to face the new year and hoping to let go of things that they felt held them back in 2018. And yet, here at the church, we're still holding on to Christmas. Today we're reading a scripture that's related to the birth story of Jesus, and it feels a bit awkward and out of place, and it doesn't really jive with the world outside. It feels uncomfortable to still be talking about Christmas when most people have closed the door on this Christmas season. But then again, Christianity isn't always meant to be comfortable, is it? Jesus often lived in discomfort, and he knew what it meant to live out God's call on this earth. We know his stories. He healed the sick and fed the poor and reached out to the marginalized and embraced the outcast and rejected the Roman authorities, and then he died a very uncomfortable death on the cross. I don't think Christianity was ever meant to be comfortable. And so the new year is upon us, and while many of you have already put away your Christmas decorations and you're looking on to the new year, we're going to pause this morning and we're going to try to recover the wonder of Epiphany, God being revealed to us, being born into our world as the salvation of our world. January 6th, each year, we celebrate the Epiphany of our Lord. And it's the day that we recognize the Magi, the wise men, visiting the Christ child. This happens every year, 12 days after Christmas, but this year it falls on a Sunday. And so today we're going to look at the story of the wise men who saw the stars that led them to Jesus. If you have your Bible or Bible app, turn with me to Matthew 2, 1 through 12. It says this: After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. I think we can learn a lot from the story of the wise men and their late arrival to the celebration of the birth of Jesus. Scripture tells us that the wise men traveled from the east to Jerusalem, where King Herod then sent them on to Bethlehem. We know that when they arrived, they were overwhelmed. They paid homage to Jesus. They worshiped him. We know that they presented him gifts, three gifts: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. We know that they arrived in Bethlehem and they were warned in a dream not to return to the king. But there's a lot we don't know in the story. We don't know how many wise men there actually were. People assume there were three because there were three gifts, but the Bible never says there were three wise men. Some scholars believe that these people would have traveled not alone and just on camels, but they would have had their entire families with them. They would have had their belongings. They would have had their servants. And like Amanda said earlier, it would have taken them several years to arrive. And so our image of a cooing baby in a manger when the wise men show up should be replaced with that of an energetic toddler running around. They were late, and we don't know how long it took them to arrive. But you see, it's not the birth of Jesus that we recognize on Epiphany Sunday. It's the confirmation of Jesus' true identity. The epiphany, the revelation. That's what we celebrate today. We don't know if they were traveling with a huge group or if there were few of them. We don't know exactly where they arrived to. It doesn't give us an exact location. The scripture says that they were coming to the house. So we can only assume that Mary and Joseph and Jesus had moved into a house somewhere. But we don't know how long exactly it took them to get there or what their journey looked like. We don't know how long they stayed. Scripture only says that they returned to their own country by another road. So even though we aren't mounting camels and following a star to Bethlehem, I think as we go into 2019, we really need to think, how much are we searching for Jesus in our lives? These men, however many there were, whoever they were traveling with, however long the trip took, however they got there, did not know when they started where their journey would lead them. They didn't know what the future would hold, but they moved forward with faith. They saw a star and they followed it to the Christ child. And then they realized who he was. And let's look at what they did. In verse 11, it says this: on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. On our journeys, aren't we called to do the same? To seek Jesus, no matter the inconvenience, no matter how long it takes. And when we find him, we worship him. So the new year is upon us, and people make resolutions, and we have all these hopes, but none of us actually know how the year ahead of us is going to go. We don't know what the future holds. We can only move forward in faith. And I think that the story of the Magi is one of courage, perseverance, and hope. You see, it's a story where God guided the journey of a group of people who were following a sign that led them to Christ. It's a story of God protecting people and providing a path of safety when they were very much threatened by King Herod. One of my favorite books to read over Christmas is The Best Christmas Pageant Ever. Has anyone read that? It's a wonderful book, and it was made into a made-for-TV movie in the 80s, and I watch it every year. Mason and I read the book this year, and the story focuses on a church that's having a Christmas pageant. And so one of the kids happens to tell this really rough and tumble group of kids at school called the Herdmans. He says, "Well, you can have my lunch that you've been stealing because I get all the things I want at church anyway." And he tells them about all the candy and the punch. And so what happens? This rough and tumble group show up at church because they want all the treats. Well, they end up in the Christmas pageant, and people think it's going to be the worst Christmas pageant ever, and it ends up being the best. But one of the funniest scenes is when the kids ask, "Well, who plays King Herod?" Now, think about this. Have you ever seen a nativity story with King Herod in it? Have you ever seen the children and the church playing King Herod? And the reason that these rough and tumble kids want to know, they said, because we're going to beat him up. And so we forget, in all the beauty of the Christmas story, that there was danger, that there was worry, that there was fear. And so God protected these wise men. God protected Mary and Joseph and, of course, Jesus, and he illuminated a path of safety. It's a story of hope, and it's proof that people can stand up against cultural norms and instead seek the peace that Christ brings to our world. Now, I think sometimes we forget what an odd sight it would have been. You have these men. Now, the Bible never says there are kings. The song says there were three kings, but the Bible never says it. But we have these men who show up. They were probably more like astrologers, astronomers, following the stars. And they show up, and you think about, they would have been speaking a different language. They would have been dressed in what would have been considered peculiar clothes because it wasn't the cultural norms. They would have looked rich and royal, and they would have been talking to just common people. And so we read the story, and sometimes we skip over that part, and we don't realize how remarkable and earth-shattering it really was. I mean, I tried to think of an illustration of a comparison, something that would be similar in today's time, and the only thing I could come up with was aliens from a spaceship showing up. I mean, that's how foreign and how different and how odd this event was. These men showed up, and not only did they show up, but they bowed down and they honored Jesus. You know, God is with us even when we can't see what lies ahead. And I think it's a story that reminds us to let go of the distractions and the routines of our earthly life and to look repeatedly to God for a sign leading us to a new place. And sometimes it's not a physical place. It's a new place spiritually. It's a new place in our relationships. Sometimes it's letting go of things that aren't good for you and filling them with Christ. The world can be a scary place, but God is with us just like he was with them, even when we can't see what lies ahead. And that's what the story of the Magi reminds us. My friends, a new year is upon us, and my prayer for you is that this year, we as a church, as a community of believers, will have the same amount of courage as the Magi. You see, their story is still being written, and so is ours. Today, we're not just simply celebrating a moment when wise men showed up and honored Jesus. We're celebrating and we're giving the thanks to God for the journeys he's calling us to take. Journeys that challenge us to seek Jesus. Journeys that remind us to look to God for guidance and protection. And journeys that some of us will take this year that will absolutely change our lives. So let this new part of our journey begin. But let it be a year of epiphany, a year of wonder. Let our New Year's resolution be this: we will look for Christ. And in the world we're living in, let's step outside of our comfort zone and the things that are familiar. In a world we live in, we're told that we always need more. But let us commit to put others' needs before ours. In a world that sometimes can be harsh, let us commit to be loving. In a world where technology is so prevalent, let us commit to face-to-face relationship. In a world that inadvertently nurtures cliques and people being left out, let us not only be the face, but also the hands and feet of Christ's radical hospitality to every person that we meet. And most of all, let us come to God in prayer. Let us come to him with our lives. And let us look to Jesus each and every day and say, "Here I am to worship. I don't know what lies ahead, but I know that you walk with me." That's the message of Epiphany Sunday. Let's pray together. God, we thank you. We thank you for the journey of the wise men and all the things we don't know about them. The things that we do are inspiring. Their faith, their belief, their ability to push themselves out of their comfort zone. God, we ask that you give us that same type of courage in the year ahead. And God, we ask that just as Christ was revealed to them, that he be revealed to each of us in a way that we can understand. And it's in the name of Jesus, the Christ child, the man who died on the cross, the Savior of the world, that we come to pray and that we come to worship. Amen. As we go into this week, as we go into this new year, let us set our sights on Jesus. The rest will work itself out. I want to remind you that we're starting a new sermon series next week, a study of Simon Peter. And I have a challenge for you. Without using Google, without asking Alexa or Siri, I want someone to either use a good old-fashioned Bible or a Bible app. And I want to see who the first person is next week who can tell me what Simon Peter's occupation was, his dad's name, and his brother's name. And the first person who will do that will have bragging rights and there might be a prize. And so, no resources other than the Bible. Happy New Year. I'll see you next week.